Everyone, this is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are discussing the world of organic and non-GMO food as a performance enhancer, as a competitive advantage. And today I have somebody from the Organic Consumers Association, which is on very much on the activist level about these subjects, to talk about what is actually happening in the food, to talk about things that we may be able to get involved with, to a host of other really cool ideas that really we can move from being in the background, just kind of accepting all this scientific-based stuff, to actually moving to the forefront of actually fighting for our food supply and hopefully that it stays natural and that it actually stays real food rather than some sort of Frankenstein type of a scenario. So today on the show, we're going to have Zach, and I'm always going to get this wrong, but Caldvier. Did I say that right, Zach?
Perfect.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I've been looking forward to this interview for probably about 2-3 weeks, and we are finally able to make it happen. So thank you very much for spending the time today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cool. All right, but before we go into some of the details and some of the questions and kind of the current events related to organics and GMOs and all that kind of cool questions, give us a little bit of your background on how you got involved in this movement and kind of what your role is.
Yeah, well, after I finished graduate school in the late 90s, I knew how I wanted to apply the skills that I had built up, and that was on really fighting on the forefront of economic, environmental, and social justice issues. So that began as an environmental political consultant working on issues ranging from climate change to clean water and on down the line. Then I went over to work for the Consumer Federation of California. So we were an economic justice organization, so I got to do all that good stuff, right, when everything was collapsing around us, unfortunately, taking on the banks, taking on the health insurance companies, taking on big pharma. And I was also editor of a progressive news site. And then I got a call from the Proposition 37 campaign in California, and that was last year's historic effort to require labeling of foods that contain genetically modified ingredients. Now, most people probably know of that campaign by now. That's the good news. We ended up coming up a point and a half short of winning, even though we were outspent by the pesticide and junk food industry's nearly $50 million to $9 million. And that led me to the really ideal place that I find myself now, and that's with the Organic Consumers Association. We are a national organization that focuses on issues related to, obviously, the organic industry and expanding that, sustainability, taking on Monsanto and the big pesticide companies, holding government accountable, particularly the regulatory agencies that have largely been captured, as in they are filled with former corporate employees, that they are now supposed to regulate those industries, like the USDA, the FDA, and sadly, even the EPA to a lesser extent. And so this is what we do. And as you can imagine, we're taking on the factory farms. I call it an inside-outside strategy. We like to fight within the system. That means if there's a farm bill, we're going to be right at the forefront fighting for the various amendments that could maybe rebalance the system to be a little bit more fairer so we stop massively subsidizing Monsanto while sticking it to the small farmer. But then we also are very much part of the outside strategy, and that means taking it to the streets, being a part of March Against Monsanto kind of efforts, supporting really local efforts to democratize food at the county level. And we really look at this as a holistic approach. Like the food, we really see this as we're on the cusp of a food movement that's not all that different to the great, important movements of our country's history, whether it's labor rights to women's rights to women's suffrage to civil rights. to the environmental movement, we really think that now we can really see how so many of these dots connect to this new burgeoning food movement, and we certainly like to feel like we're at the forefront of that.
You really do bring up a lot of really cool subjects in relation to a food movement, and I really would concur with you that there is a movement going on. We get out in front of, just to kind of give you a little background on us, is that we've worked with probably 10,000 high school age and under athletes over the last 10 years. So we are out in the high schools talking about nutrition, talking about, you know, living life in today's world. And there are more and more each day that are out there, and they say they have questions, and they take our advice of simply getting off the processed foods, anything in a bag or something like this, and their mind starts to clear up, and they're like, man, I can think straight now. So could you talk a little bit about, just before we get into some of the really kind of hardcore issues, but why would I even care? You know, if food is food, right?
Well, man, now that is the question, right? And I think what really makes me optimistic is because by asking that question and seeking that answer, there's such an overwhelming number of really critical reasons that it does matter, that I feel like we can't not win this fight, because it matters to your physical health. I mean, we're talking about a food system, an American diet. I mean, just look at the health of Americans when we're talking about skyrocketing diabetes, skyrocketing autism, skyrocketing allergy problems, skyrocketing cancers and organ toxicity. I could go on and on. All of these problems, by the way, are problems that have been found in independent health studies of how genetically modified foods, particularly those that are sprayed with Monsanto's very toxic Roundup herbicide. And all these problems have been found in the animals that have been forced to eat these kinds of foods, and particularly long-term. So let's just start with, there is reason to believe that our current American diet is dangerous to your health and therefore to your long-term happiness. I point out that it goes beyond just this very small question, are GMOs safe? Because it's really about a food system that is unsafe. So to explain it better, think about taking a journey from the laboratory where these genetically modified seeds are created to the American dinner plate. And that's really when you see this process of the food becoming more and more unhealthy and toxic and damaging to our environment and our bodies. And so you first start with this fairly radical and untested. It's important to understand, in America, we require no health safety studies of genetically modified crops before they're allowed onto the market for mass consumption. That has to be understood. So you start with creating in this laboratory by mixing all these different proteins together and adding, you know, viruses and bacteria to a different plant and animal to create supposedly some kind of new perfect corn seed. But really what they're doing is they're creating something that's designed to resist their toxic herbicide Roundup, because Roundup will kill everything else in its path. So if you just take a step back and think about it that way, the food we're eating, a large part of it, has been doused in chemicals, kill everything else except it. That's a little bit worrisome in itself. Now, that's start part one. But then the journey goes, because the staples of our genetically modified diet are corn, soy, and certainly sugar beets. If it's not pure cane sugar, it's genetically modified. So where do those ingredients usually go? Well, they go straight to the processing factories, right? And they are the basis of then all of our processed foods, which of course are then added all kinds of other chemicals and additives that make it even less nutritious than it already would have been. And then you get back to the market, which is now about 70% of the grocery stores. Now, if it doesn't go down that path, it goes down the other path. The genetically modified seeds are shipped to our factory farms, which are these giant gulag systems of animals concentrated into these tiny little pens, and they are fed something that they would never eat naturally, corn seeds and soy seeds rather than grass. So then they're pumped with hormones and antibiotics because this is not a healthy diet for them, and it's certainly not healthy for them to be caged and the sickness that arises from that. And that becomes the meat, cheese, and dairy that we eat. About 90 to 95% of it is from factory farms. What you see is a general American diet that incentivizes, because a lot of this stuff is subsidized by us taxpayers, that are high in, it's high in sugar, high in salt, high in saturated fats, and really high in all kinds of chemicals that really deny the body the ability to process it correctly, get the nutrients out of it that it needs. And so that's one reason you should care, is that we are subsidizing an entire food system that is destroying the environment, accelerating climate change, and you can bet is adding to the major healthcare costs and lowering the quality of life of human beings in this country. So that's just, if, briefly, just from a food perspective, why this matters so much. And you can expand on why it matters when you talk about seeing how small farmers' farms are being contaminated by genetically modified seed pollination, and they're being sued by companies like Monsanto. It's becoming harder and harder for organic and conventional farmers to find seeds that aren't genetically modified. And of course, once you go genetically modified, you're stuck buying those seeds. You're stuck having to buy Roundup herbicide. And because Monsanto owns those seeds, you have to buy them each year rather than save them. So this is a question. I mean, I could just go on forever, but I'll just end there. This is a question that is important to, beyond even just your health. It's the health of the future of farming in this country. It's the health of our planet. It's the health of the biodiversity. It's the health of species that are being wiped out by these chemicals. So that's why I call it a food movement, because it goes beyond just going to a store and going, I want to eat something healthy today, or now today I'm just, I'm going to go out for fast food. It connects to almost every dot that is important today in this world.
You see, let's do this. Before we go move on, because in that I have about 70 questions that came up that little 5-minute piece, and I realized for the sake of time we're not going to go to all 70. I appreciate your time the first time, but maybe as we move through the years we'll be able to get to them all. But start at the basic level first. Okay. And say, okay, that's sort of the problem. Now, first of all, let's talk about what are the benefits of eating properly, eating natural food, and I use the word loosely, but natural food, eating whole foods, not processed. Could you give us 4 or 5 different benefits, and then we'll move off into some more specifics below that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first benefits right off the bat, of course, are you are not filling your body with these massive amount of chemicals and pesticides and all the rest that organic farming does not require. So, for instance, organic farming prohibits the use of toxic pesticides, antibiotics, growth hormones, nanoparticles, climate destabilizing chemical fertilizers like toxic sewage sludge or coal waste. It also these foods are produced without the use of GMOs and therefore the herbicides I had mentioned that they are designed to resist. So right off the bat, you are relieving your body of hundreds of dangerous chemicals that are unhealthy, not just to your body, but unhealthy to the planet and to all the animals that live on it. But it actually kind of goes deeper. I think a lot of people understand that basic fact that organic foods are safer, and that if you eat these processed foods in stores that are anything contained in a plastic box, that you are eating a lot of stuff that your body really shouldn't be. But a growing body of evidence that's actually beyond question is that organic foods are actually more nutritious, too, because it's how your body processes the food that you eat. And so much of the nutrient power of processed foods has been stripped from it. And that's partly related to the obesity problem, is you eat junk food and you always feel like you got to eat more. And that's why you get part of the reason why we get this obesity problem. So organic foods also happen to be more nutritious. And this is especially with raw or non-processed. So they are substantially more nutritious. They contain higher levels of things like beta-carotene, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, and all kinds of health-promoting antibiotics. And I won't go into all the different names of them. There are polyphenols and flavonoids. but all of these, and I can tell you there's studies across the board, whether it's the vegetables, whether it's even things like ketchup or dairy or meat that are done organically, are filled with all these really healthy natural antioxidants and probiotics that are good, that keep cancer away, that are good for your heart, that are good for your lungs. And so that's the initial benefit you get just from your physical point of view, aside from the fact that when you buy organic, you're buying from a usually local, but certainly small organic farmers. You're keeping money in the system rather than sending your money to multi-billion-dollar corporations and pesticide companies that then use that money to lobby Congress and fight ballot measures that are designed to help you. So it's also, I think, it's a smart economic and moral choice to go, what do I want my money used for? Yes, I want to use it for something that's more healthy for me, but also I don't want it to be used by these giant corporations to further undermine my health and the health of the environment.
Well said. I would not agree more, you know, with the process. Because it's interesting because, you know, being from Minnesota, you know, we're supposedly like the Midwest, you know, the farmers of the United States and all this kind of thing. And there seem to be a lot of things that are happening at the local level. Now, let's go. I want to take two tacks here. I want to take a little time to continue to talk about what we look for. You know what I mean? And some of the marketing things that have happened recently. And then I'd like to move over also into the activist side to say, okay, I see this. This is really important. I want to get involved. So let's go this way. Like one of the things that I just read recently was a Pepsi company or Pepsi Corporation, whatever you want to say, you know, owns Naked. And they were sued because there was labeling on the outside that said, I don't remember specifically what it said on the outside, but it was essentially organic, natural, non-GMO, the whole enchilada. And then they went into court, they got sued, and they lost because there actually was those types of things in that original, all-natural, supposedly just fruit, vegetables, and all that kind of stuff. How do you start to combat this stuff at a consumer level?
Well, you bring up a great question because this is one of the big con jobs that the big food industries have done. See, what they understand is the organic food market has been growing at twice to three times the rate as the conventional food market over the last 10 years or so, almost at 20% on average over the last 10 years. And that's despite all the disadvantages organic foods have. You know, they're a little bit more expensive. They don't have multi-billion dollar advertising campaigns, I can assure you that. They don't get subsidies and tax breaks from the government, yet still they are outpacing not in total, but in terms of growth, the conventional junk food companies. And so what they've understood is we got to get a hold of some of that market, not just by buying some organic companies and having them under our umbrella, but also figuring out ways to trick consumers into thinking they're buying organic, but in actuality they're not. So what they came up with is what's called natural. Now, it's really important for everyone to know, natural means nothing. There is no regulatory definition of a product or the word itself when something says all natural. It actually has nothing to do with anything. What they did was they realized that, so they started calling all their foods natural. Pepsi's just the beginning of this iceberg. I mean, there's going to be so many more lawsuits because so many companies do the same thing. And, in fact, there was a recent poll done that showed that more people believe that something called all natural is organic than something that's organic is organic. Now, that's a frightening prospect, but it goes to what their marketing strategy was. So, for one, discard something that says all natural. I mean, unless you read the box and you see, gosh, there really is nothing in there except what's seeming like natural ingredients, but it doesn't have any meaning. I mean, really, you want 100% organic at any time that you can. Then there's 95% organic is when something is just says organic, and then there's partially made of organic ingredients, and that's 70%. But, I mean, you really got to look for the organic label. And also, you've got to, you know, if there's farmers markets in your area, I mean, that is so much the way to go because you can get locally grown, so the carbon footprint is much less, organic foods that are cheaper than what you might get at a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's. Because, you know, obviously cost can be an impediment. And, of course, the cost problem is so much a part of the rigged system we've got. It's not based on a free market. I mean, these junk foods, corn and soy, and they get huge amounts of subsidies. And a lot of it even goes to ethanol and corn feed to animals, not to people. So we've got a system that's rigged against organics, and this is partly what we work on to try to bring it back into place. But all I would say is spend a little bit more on organic. That's better than spending a lot more down the road at the hospital or on health care. And also remember that you're spending in tax money and for environmental cleanup, in subsidies. So you're spending in all kinds of ways on this conventional foods that really make organic food seem like a pretty darn good deal once you put it in that context.
All right. So then underneath this, I got a couple of questions, and then we'll move on to more of the activist side. But you had mentioned the Whole Food Trader Joe's question, and – you know, recently there was some information, you know, that Whole Foods was marketing all their, you know, everything inside the store was organic or non-GMO, which was false. And then you have on the other side, which to kind of give you an idea is we have a local Trader Joe's. I use it quite frequently, but they do not label their food items, their branded ones, I'm saying, as non-GMO, but they've stated that they're non-GMO. How do you start to make that decision? Because it's like you're splitting hairs on this thing.
Yeah, well, you know, with Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, I mean, we sometimes, you know, battle with them in some of these areas you're talking about. You know, with Trader Joe's, everything that they've told us, and I've actually wrote an article and had deep conversations with them, is they're in-store brands like Trader Joe Food, they test rigorously using the affidavit system, which I won't, basically is how Prop 37 would have worked and how Washington's labeling initiative, which is critical to pass, by the way, next week, would work, basically showing that it doesn't have GMOs by a signed statement from who you get it from. So they're on the line if they're lying to you, right?
Yep.
So Trader Joe Food themselves, my understanding and how I'm inclined to believe, are non-GMO. But there are obviously lots of products, same thing with Whole Foods, that are in their stores that are GMO and are not labeled yet.
That's correct.
But Whole Foods does plan by 2018 to label all the foods in their stores that are not GMO. I would hope Trader Joe's will follow that model. I mean, hell, I hope Washington next week passes labeling. And, you know, within the next couple of years after that, labeling will have to go national because you can't have different labeling standards for different states. And so Washington could be the beginning of the end for this whole you know, secrecy, con job where we're not even allowed to know what's in the food that we eat.
Exactly. All right, one other question related to the local farm market, because at least the one here, there's two major ones in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and one seems to be a little bit better than the other, but you go down there and it's all made up of the same fruits and vegetables that you could get at your local grocery store. Is because you see them show up, and I've seen them in my local grocery store. They show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they get their big, you know, stash of food, you know, all in the same branded boxes, and then they go down to the farmer's market and sell it. So even in that respect, how would you view that type of context?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, that definitely gets into some gray area, doesn't it? I mean, it almost, at some point, you're going to have to probably have some kind of conversations with them and hopefully feel like you know enough about their system and what they're doing that you believe that they're not lying to you and actually, you know, selling, you know, genetically modified foods or processed foods when they say they're purely organic. Because there's not a specific regulatory system that can give you that surety, that assuredness, for such small operations. And, you know, but of course, you know, if we get labeling in, then I would imagine that could help in those situations too.
Yeah, it really was interesting to me the first couple of times when I started this process a couple of years ago, and I was so excited that I had learned something new and drove down, you know, 35 minutes to the nearest, biggest, you know, farmer's market, and there I see the same brands that I could get at the local grocery store. And I'm like, well, I thought this was like, you know, and so it really did confuse me from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's a pretty good tip-off, something's wrong.
Exactly.
No doubt.
See the big
I know the farmer's market here in Oakland, you go through there and you definitely don't get that feeling. I mean, you've got, you know, lots of farmers that have come just from very small distances with their just grown stuff. And I feel as confident as I can, put it that way, in purchasing.
You hit a great point, because I've ventured on this road for probably 2 years, you know, to try to get to a point where I get my family turned over to eating good food. But you hit a certain point where you come to the realization that you have to trust what that person is telling me. There is going to be no scientific component that will 100% stamp it, that it is organic, non-GMO. You do have to come to the point where you trust the person that you're buying it from.
This is true. I mean, and, you know, there's projects like the non-GMO project, but, you know, for a very small farmer, a very small operation, those are very expensive processes to go through. So, you know, it's one thing for a big food company that has a new non-GMO product line, and you know, studies have shown that when you label your food non-GMO, because it is non-GMO, sales have gone up about 15% in whole food stores of foods that are labeled non-GMO. So the market is absolutely there. I think it's just hopefully getting to a place where, and that's why I think mandatory labeling is so important. The onus should not be on these small farmers and small businesses to go pay for this huge process of proving that they get a non-GMO sticker, where rather than the onus should be on the big companies to have to say that, oh yeah, we are using GMO, and then it would be much simpler for those that aren't GMO to prove it, because it would just that affidavit system, signed statement.
I can already tell you, because I apologize. We've got a couple minutes over our time. Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, I can talk as long as you want.
Because it really is.
Well, not as long as you want, I can go for another 15 minutes.
That's good. Yes, I'm sure people would get tired of listening to us after a while. You know, it's like, dude, do these guys ever finish? You know, I was like, But nonetheless, let's come back because I want to hit the activist side because in Minnesota, you know, you guys, your corporation is based, you know, at least has the corporate office, you know, in Minnesota. But you're in California. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, because there are a lot of people out there that are understanding and see, you know, the need to be involved. But again, it's a very diluted system of how to get involved. So could you talk to us a little bit about how to get involved and what things we should do to make sure that we can change the direction of our food supply?
Yeah, well, I think again, there's this inside-outside ways of doing it. And I think it really is going to take everything. I mean, one thing is, especially when the system is as corrupt and powerful and moneyed and entrenched as it is now, the idea that there's a single magic bullet that is going to turn things around is just a fallacy, unfortunately. So, you know, you start with what you can do just as a person. So that means avoiding processed foods, probably cooking more. That's usually one of the single best ways to eat healthier, because if you're cooking, that means you're much more likely not to be eating GMOs or processed foods. Stay away, obviously, from canola oil. Canola is a GMO. So it means shopping organic, trying to shop local to support those local systems. And then, you know, in terms of putting your money to work, I mean, everybody has, you know, everybody's money's tight. But, you know, if you're going to donate money somewhere, if you're not going to donate to some local, co-op or farmers group, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, sit here and beg for money, but there are groups like ours, that if you get enough people that give a little, it adds up to a lot. I mean, this is the benefit that we have over organized money, and that's organized people. And in fact, that's the only thing in our country's history that has ever defeated organized money and power is organized people. I mean, name the movement from women's suffrage to civil rights. It's because the people stood up and demanded change. So we've got that on our side. So I think that's important to remember when if things seem too overwhelming. So it's shopping with your dollars. It's giving money to groups that maybe can provide a megaphone for the things that you care about, because that's really, I think, partly what we do. And you know what? For instance, we have a weekly Bites email that you can sign up for at the top of our website, organicconsumers.org. Goes out every Thursday. It has about five different issues it covers. Usually in those, there's at least one or two direct actions that we're asking you can take. And, you know, sure, it seems like sometimes signing a letter to your legislator or a petition doesn't make a difference. But when enough people do, enough times, it absolutely does. And so we have our eyes on when the FDA is trying to weaken a food safety rule. We are all over it. And we'll have a letter ready for you to send to the FDA saying, I do not want, you know, fix this, this, and this. Same thing with the USDA or if there's a farm bill. So I think it is important just to think of it as this is just one of the things that I do in the larger context of trying to change things. So sign those letters, sign those petitions, because it does add up. And, in fact, we just had the Monsanto Protection Act repealed, which, you know, that's a whole other issue, yes, but it was because of the amount of pressure from people, the amount of petitions, the amount of signatures, the march against Monsanto. So, you know, I'd also say if there's a march or protest on this stuff, you know, go do that. Talk to your neighbors and friends about these issues and about what's being done to our food supply and food system. I mean, one argument I always make is, like, do you know that, you know, 95% of the genetically modified seeds are now owned by the same corporation that created Agent Orange, DDT, PCBs, and cigarettes, and they still to this day, and I'm talking about Monsanto, say that all those chemicals that they used to create are safe, and they're still trying to fight any reciprocity for what Agent Orange did to the millions of Vietnamese and the tens of thousands of American soldiers. This is the company that now controls our food. You know, like, this is something I think that we need to keep spreading that spreading that word. And then I would also finally just say, the more you educate yourself on the issue, the more you hopefully will make it one of your voting issues. Because a lot of legislators, and I can tell you this, really don't understand this issue. And there might be a whole complex reasons of why they're really bad on it, but bottom line is there's a lot of ignorance out there. And so the more we educate our legislators and the more we vote based on this issue. So if there's a Congress race or a Senate race, you know, you need to find out what's their position on GMOs, what's their position on growing hemp, you know, what's their position on agribusiness subsidies, on down the line. So if we can make this issue as big an issue as, you know, pro-choice and pro-life and guns and, you know, tax cuts, and then it's also food, you know, that's part of what how a movement starts to win is when it becomes that much in the spotlight. So I think these are all things that we can do, and there's plenty of them.
Unbelievable. All right, where can people get a hold of? Could you give that website out one more time, and then any?
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah, it's organicconsumers, one word, .org.
And then people can just get a hold of your organization, because I do feel, you know, and we haven't talked a little bit too much about some specific benefits, but there are a tremendous amount of other sideline issues that need to be sort of stood up against. And one of the things that I've seen is your organization is doing that. And I really want to let everybody know that if you'd like to get a hold of them, I just reached out to them, you know, through their website, and they've been tremendous to be willing to invest their time, like with Zach coming on the show today. I've talked with three or four different people in Minnesota. So I want to thank you very much, Zach, for taking the time today to kind of lay the groundwork on the world of organic and GMOs.
It was my pleasure, and you know, just don't hesitate to check in at a future date, and we can do this again.
Absolutely. Artie, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and I'm with Zach from the Organic Consumers Association.